Welcome to a brand new season of Naturally Educated, the podcast from the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi. My name is Abdulrahman Al-Zaabi, and my co-host for season 5, as ever, is Tim Elliott. It's good to be back, Tim, and it's good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to hear from you, Abdulrahman. How have you been? What's been going on?
Oh, man. First of all, can you believe it's already season 5?
I know. We're getting old together.
It's incredibly fast. But yeah, one major update. I nowadays go by Bu Hamdan. It's a new thing I'm embracing, let's say.
I see. And can you, for the benefit of our listeners, people listening who don't know what that means?
Well, it's, so I have a little boy, little baby. Somehow it appeared in my life. And yeah, that's how people refer to me, as the father of Hamdan, who's my little son.
That's lovely. How's Hamdan doing? How's everything going?
Oh, man. It's a lot of those sleepless nights that I heard about. Yeah. And, one thing, I need to address this, actually.
Okay.
My whole life, people have been telling me, you know, when you sleep nicely at night, you will be sleeping like a baby, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. You will be just sleeping. I heard it my whole life. Newsflash, babies don't sleep that well, it turns out.
you make a really good point, because that whole sleeping like a baby thing isn't what you are led to believe that it is.
I have Unfortunately.
To say, I mean, I've got two kids, quite a lot older than Hamdan. And I was quite lucky with mine. They slept reasonably quickly. But the days of the not sleeping, they stick in your memory, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely do.
Well, look, you know, congratulations. And
thank you.
I have to say to you, if there's somebody who I would know who could be potentially a good father, you'd probably be top of the list. So Hamdan's done okay.
I appreciate it. I'm learning from you, sir. You know what I'm realizing? It's been a while since we had our last season at the World Education Environment Congress. It's been closer to a year already.
It is over a year, actually. We were there at the end of January into February 2024, locked up in the podcast booth, you know, crammed together in that room with our guests. So we're kind of back in our natural, I suppose, studio habitat now.
Absolutely. I have to just compliment or mention one thing about those sessions we had at the podcast booth. Mm. You know, it allowed for spontaneous interactions, deep connections, eye-opening experiences that people shared with us. It was such an experience, and it kind of like gives me a boost to go through this season.
It does, you know, but it was one of those things. Do you remember, because we were next to the Youth Congress and we did a small season of like the youth voice, if you like, mm-hmm. didn't we? But I remember one day, you weren't there. I think you were out maybe at the cookie stand. It was maybe 11 o'clock in the morning. The cookies were still warm.
Couldn't resist.
Exactly. They were good cookies. But 5 guys came tumbling through the door, young guys, school guys. They're all about 14, 15. And they were like, this is the podcast booth. I said, yeah. And I was just sat writing and doing some like bits and pieces. So they all sat down and said, right, let's do a podcast. So I said, well, what are we going to talk about? So we talked about football for 25 minutes and then 5 minutes on conservation.
You got something out of there.
Oh, I tell you. It's amazing how many fans of Cristiano Ronaldo there are in this part of the world. Man.
Yeah, can't blame them. He's good.
So look, this time it's a little bit different, isn't it? The theme this season, Abdulrahman.
Indeed, yes. We're going to be talking about restoring and maintaining ecosystems. As you remember last time, we were very much talking about especially environmental education, right?
Exactly. And we learned, didn't we? All education is environmental education. That kind of became our mantra, almost.
Indeed. How true is that, by the way?
Do you know, it really is, 100%. I kind of wanted to add something before we get into this episode as well. One of the things about this season is that we've kind of going to have half an eye on the fact that this October, Abu Dhabi is hosting the IUCN World Conservation Congress. Now, as you know, IUCN is the International Union for Conservation of Nature. It's kind of, I suppose it's the global authority on the status of the natural world, the measures that we need to safeguard the natural world. It's a congress that happens every 4 years. So we're kind of looking at, this is maybe corny, but it's kind of the Olympic Games of sustainability and nature conservation, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Sounds nice, actually. I mean, it's one of the reasons that in this fifth season of Naturally Educated, we'll be highlighting the role of biodiversity, technology, and sustainable practices in restoring degraded ecosystems. Mm. What that means basically is what we want to do this time is to get to a deeper understanding of how we can rebuild and protect our natural environment.
That's exactly right. It's kind of conserve and sustain. So we're going to be talking to experts, we'll talk to policymakers, youth leaders, and we're going to focus on real, and I mean real world solutions and innovation so that biodiversity can remain exactly that, diverse.
Absolutely. So this season is about the importance of maintaining the ecosystems around us all for ecological, economic, and cultural sustainability.
So let's get to it, Abdurrahman. Who's our guest for this episode?
So this time, we're going to explore coastal and marine ecosystem restoration efforts in the UAE. And our guest is someone with firsthand experience of exactly that. She's a person who spends much of her time aboard EAD's research vessel, J1, marine analyst at the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi. It's a very warm welcome to Naturally Educated, Sara Al-Mahirbi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, Sara, I would love to start with getting to know you. So if you can introduce yourself, your role at EAD, and also your specific expertise.
My name is Sara Al-Mahirbi, and I work on the first research vessel, J1. Let me introduce you what does J1 mean. J1 is the finest pearl here in the UAE, and I'm one of the first Emirati women to work on board full-time. My experience in J1 is so adventurous. Every day is a new adventure to me.
Mm-hmm. So J1, right? It's the first of its kind in the UAE. And we would love to get into all the details and all of what you do as an analyst on board J1. Tell us about what is the specific things that you do day to day, let's say.
Okay. So before getting into that, I would like to share my experience. Why did I get into this field? Because as you know, here in the UAE, it's something new. And not every woman, let's say, would go into this field. So my background is that my family are sea people and I love the sea. So I used to go snorkeling with my dad every 5 times in a year. So it's like every season.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this special spot where we usually always go and dive. However, within the years, I've seen how the place went from lively to deadly. Mm. And that, it connected me into an emotional way, is that us humans, we can speak up anytime. However, the marine mammals can't. So I feel like I'm responsible to speak up for them. I feel as if like I'm a lawyer for them to speak up here in Earth.
So, Sara, you felt from a very young age that you almost had like a duty to be better for the environment, to do your bit to make things better, to improve things, to restore things.
Yes, I felt that like I've seen how did the corals die like gradually within the years and how did climate change affect it. Like I've seen that firsthand. So it made me emotionally connected to the marine mammals.
And so, you know, you decided at some point you wanted to fix it, right? So how did that start? Where did you go from there?
So I've majored in environmental science and sustainability. That's the close thing I had to work with sea mammals. I've studied in Zayed University. And by the things I've studied, I didn't just want to study. I want like to start acting up. So I've heard like there is a new project going on, which is the research vessel. And I've directly like went to the person responsible. And I'm like, I want to work in this vessel no matter what. Then he's like, how is that fine with your parents? Like, you're going to go out there for weeks, for like more than 20 days. I'm like, I don't care. I need to work in this vessel and I need like to help the marine mammals and the pollution that we've been seeing around here in our coastal areas. So in the beginning, as any father, he was like, like, how is that possible? Like, how are you going to go out for 20 days with no Wi-Fi?
Mm-hmm.
Then within time, he's seen that, like, how I really love this job and how passionate I am about this job. So he was like, okay, fine, just go and let's see.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I go and whenever I come back with the samples and when I analyze the samples and go back and like talk about like all the things, they are seeing that I am making a difference within these studies.
It's so important to do something you love, I think. And it sounds like you're kind of following your heart, doing what you think you're supposed to do, which is great to hear. We have to ask you, Sara, about, you know, some of your adventures aboard the vessel, the kinds of things you do, the kinds of samples you take. And I guess as well, I'm really interested in what you're seeing lately, because we know that in the UAE, things are improving from a marine conservation restoration perspective. But can you give us some idea about it, put it into words?
One of the main studies we have conducted in the research vessel is the Fisheries Resource Assessment Survey. So let me just give you a brief what does that mean. We study the fish population here in the UAE within the most advanced equipments we have on board J1. So we go out like for several weeks and conduct this study. And we've noticed in some places the fish population is less. So by gathering this kind of information, we establish laws. And within this laws, the fish population can go back to normal.
So you go around, you take samples. I'm sure prior to that, you make a plan. You probably focus on a specific mammal, a specific fish or a specific seabed species, etc. And you say, you know what, I'm going to collect the samples enough to give this species a chance to grow and increase in population. Is that something similar to what you do?
Okay, I can give you an example of science in action. So one key mission was the fisheries resource assessment. So we used sonar and troll surveys to evaluate the fish population here in the UAE, which supports the restock programs. And we also conduct a microplastic study across multiple marine zones to understand how pollution affects coral and seagrass. Another example is our collaboration with Khalifa University is to study the effects of climate change in the seabed to directly support the long-term viability of the restoration habitat here in the UAE.
How does that look like? What is the relation, let's say, between climate change and the seabed habitat?
So if climate change is increasing, the sun will not be able to reach underwater. If the sun doesn't reach underwater, the oxygen level will go less, then fishes will die eventually. Mm-hmm.
So it's about preserving the environment that the fish exist in currently, maybe studying it and making sure that it doesn't get impacted by climate change in a way.
So, Sarah, essentially you are on J1, you are the front line, you're evaluating and analyzing and trying to understand the overall health of marine ecosystems. And then the decisions are made after that. That's kind of your role, isn't it? On a day-to-day, week-to-week, I guess, on the vessel basis.
Yes, it's based on the samples we collected and what we've observed during our study.
And the samples that you collect could be anything from, I mean, I don't know, you're looking at the quality of the water, you're looking at sediment, you're looking at, particular fish stocks or particular species?
We collect different kinds of samples. We collect water samples, sediments. We even collect air quality samples. So it's based on the study and proposal we get by the university. So the research vessel is like a floating university, let's say.
Wow. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
You mentioned previously that you've done international cooperation to handle specific projects. Can you speak more about that?
So the research vessel, initially, it came from Spain. So while the vessel came from Spain, we have international partnership to help us conduct studies in this international waters. We had Max Planck and Cyprus Institute, and we've conducted the air quality survey from Spain to the UAE.
Wow. And what did you learn from that?
So we're trying to compare the air pollution.
So, you know, one thing I've been fascinated about is these eDNA studies that you conduct. Could you shed a light on them?
Yes. So this is actually one of the most important studies conducted in J1, and it's a collaboration between M42 and Bayanat. So how does eDNA really work? So what do? We collect water samples, and within the water samples we collect, we can know what kind of fisheries was in that water by its eDNA. So rather than going and fishing to understand what kind of fish is under us to understand the biomass of the fisheries, we just collect the water samples and analyze the eDNA of the fisheries within this water.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, the research vessel J1 is the first research vessel to conduct this study in a moving vessel in the world.
Mm-hmm. Forgive this question, but what does eDNA mean?
Environmental DNA.
Uh-huh.
It's like your DNA, but E is for environmental.
Environmental.
Yeah.
Okay. So part of that, so you take a sample of water next to fisheries and you sort of analyze and figure out what kind of fish, what's the population there. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I heard also you mentioning previously that there are artificial coral reefs. Could you shed a light on that as well?
So I'm not sure if you read the news or not, but Environment Agency is going to do an AI corals, a huge garden here in the UAE waters, and it's the first of its kind here in the UAE. Mm-hmm. It's going to help the marine system.
And the kind of studies that they're suspecting to get out of this, how does it link to your research vessel? Is that something?
That's two different things.
Two different things, okay.
The research vessel mostly helps water above 10 meter, which is offshore.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to add one thing.
Sure.
So before, for example, let's say 3 years ago, when we didn't have the research vessel, we couldn't conduct studies with waters above 10 meters. So all the studies we are doing right now is all new because no one had this facility to go and conduct this kind of research, which is above 10 meters. No one had the vessel to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So all the studies we are doing, you can say it's first of its kind here in the UAE.
It's remarkable, Sarah, because I'm just listening and trying to work out in my head eDNA studies, but it sounds like, I mean, you can literally, with this vessel and with the technology that you have, you can pinpoint stocks of fish or types of species that were in one area that aren't. You could literally say, these fish were here, they're no longer here, and work out why that is, and then take measures to make the change you want to change. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, part of your research, right, is aided by having protected areas, right? These marine protected areas. And I've read about them before. They're vast areas in the Arabian Gulf that are protected from fishing, protected from other elements, probably. Can you talk us more about your experience in this area?
Okay, so we have the Mrawah Marine Biosphere Reserve, which is the largest marine protected area in the region. And it's home to key habitats like coral reefs, seagrass beds, and mangroves, and support a rich variety of marine life, including endangered dugongs. We also have Aliasat, which is also well known here in the UAE, and it's a home to diverse habitat and species, including sea turtles and important fish population, which help us to sustain the UAE marine resource ecosystem.
Sarah, do you mind if I just jump back a little bit? Because I just want to get a picture of the overall strategy at EAD. And I know because you're on the front line, you're like a frontline soldier almost in some ways in this, but just their overall strategy at the Environment Agency, what they're doing to conserve the UAE marine environment. I know mangrove restoration is underway. Coral reef restoration is underway. Could you give us some examples of, you know, specific things that are happening?
So let me first give you a broad picture of what does Environment Agency do. They conduct studies to put laws to protect our Earth for future generations. One of the specific studies is the, let's say, dugongs. So dugongs here in the UAE, they're a bit endangered. So we have a protected reserved area for them to grow more, so the population can grow more.
So, Sarah, I'm fascinated about what you do because, as you explained, not everyone has access to such a career because of various reasons. But also, you know, you go 20 days, as you mentioned, without having access to the connected world and the internet, etc. And you're out there with a crew of people. How does your schedule look like day to day?
Okay, so to be honest, every day is a new day in the research vessel. How I see it is that, to be honest, my life in the research vessel is like an action movie. So I usually wake up around 7 a.m. I grab my coffee. I love coffee. So I have like my own coffee station. Like I do the coffee as if like I'm a barista in the research vessel. And it's like I have my own restaurant. There's a line out there waiting and each person wants a coffee with a very beautiful drawing. So when we get that on the way, we start within our meeting, we get a map and we coordinate which points we want to go, then go to the captain and have like a full discussion of how our day will go. Then from 8 till the sun goes down, we do our experiments and gather the data. And between that, we have break, snack time, lunch time. And our work there is like, okay, so you work and gather the samples, but it's so funny because like you can't predict what's going to happen out there. Like sometimes the weather will be a huge fuss. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes it will rain randomly.
Wow.
So as I said, it's like literally an action movie every single day in the vessel. And after sunset, we go and eat our dinner. Then most of the time we either do a movie night or just play board games. Then we repeat that all over again.
Mm-hmm. One final question regarding this. What is the most memorable experience that you've had on the vessel up to this stage?
It's so one thing I really like about the research vessel is that I get disconnected from Earth, from land. So I really do get disconnected and I'm just like out in the sea with my colleagues and conducting science. This is one of the best memories I will always have.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Sarah, can I ask you about something that is always in the news? We all read about the amount of plastic in the sea. And here in the UAE, lots has been done using plastic bags when you go to the supermarket. We're all recycling. We're all going with our tote bags. We're trying to use less plastic. But we still read about how microplastics get everywhere into fish we consume. You've just done a microplastics study. I know that. And it's a regional study. What can you tell us about that?
I can't. It's not published yet.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say that. However, keep an eye on the Environment Agency website and you'll get the results soon.
We look forward to it indeed. Sarah, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this podcast is the future, if you like, of conservation, the future of restoration, whether it's marine or on land. And at the WEC event at the beginning of 2024, the youth panel there was really influential. And we talked to lots of the young people at the event to see, or really to kind of gauge the passion. And it was amazing to see. We were right next to the Youth Congress, actually. And I'm interested because I know that EAD do a great deal to talk to young people, to try to get through to the next generation, if you like, how important conservation is. But, you know, how do you see that? Because you're that kind of first wave, if you like, of young people that decided, I want to do this. I went snorkeling with my dad. I can see what's happening. What do you need to do to get young people really, truly engaged in this?
To start off, Environment Agency Abu Dhabi supports youth in so many ways. For example, I'm just 23 years old and I work in the research vessel full time. We are also turning science into action. by inviting students on board to learn about marine science and ecosystem protection. It's about creating the next generation to take action.
So, Sarah, to conclude this episode, I would like to ask you, how can we best highlight the importance of maintaining these vital ecosystems for ecological, economic, and cultural sustainability?
Okay, I'd say that ecosystem restoration isn't just the work of scientists and governments. It belongs to all of us, whether you are reducing plastic or volunteering for a cleanup or simply learning more about marine life or marine science. Every action matters. And within the UAE committing to net zero by 2050, we all have a role in building a future where our seas are cleaner, richer in life, and protected for generations to come.
It's really down to all of us, isn't it? We all need to contribute. And I think that's a common message. Can I just finally ask you, Sari, your perspective, the importance of the steps that the Emirates, the UAE is taking to make sure that ecosystem restoration efforts provide a really healthy environment for future generations? I know it's not, there's not just one fix, but just your perspective to finish off.
It's one earth, one sea. It belongs to all of us, whether you are reducing plastic use, volunteering for a cleanup, or simply learning more about marine life, every action matters. We all have a role in building a future, and me being part of J1 is a piece of a puzzle to be solved.
100%. A huge thank you to our guest, marine analyst at the Environment Agency, Abu Dhabi. Thank you so much, Sarah Mherbi.
Thank you for having me. It was very enjoyable.
That's today's episode in Season 5 of Naturally Educated, exploring coastal and marine ecosystem restoration efforts here in the UAE with somebody who I think it's fair to say, Abdurrahman, is absolutely on the front line.
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking back to when we first met Sarah Abdurrahman at the World Environment Education Congress in Abu Dhabi, start of 2024. You'll remember this. She just had a few minutes and she joined us in the podcast room. So we've kind of briefly met before. She was obviously a year younger at the time, just 22. But it was really good to get a chance to talk to her again, to hear some of the stories. And once again, I think it's worth reiterating that she is really on the front line of marine conservation for lots of different reasons on board J1, the EAD research vessel.
Indeed. What an amazing thing, Tim. Sarah is out there spending days, sometimes weeks at a time, and sees the effect that we've had and are having on the marine environment. What she's doing is such an important job. Plus, of course, she's doing what she loves to do.
She's one of those really fortunate people, I think. And I think you can hear that when she was talking about going snorkeling with her father, for example, and she saw things the way they were. And as time went on, she wasn't as happy with how things were when she was snorkeling. So she thought to herself, I'm going to do this, made her case. And now she does, I think she kind of does what she's supposed to do, if that makes any sense. I mean, she's 23, she's young, and she's kind of, I don't know, she's leading the charge.
Absolutely. She's passionate. You can see in the way she talks. You can see it in her eyes. It's inspiring just to be in the presence of someone with such passion. To be honest, I believe that she's breaking some sort of or shattering the glass ceiling, basically, for her area of work. The fact that she in a way, had to challenge some cultural norms just to pursue the career that she loves is incredible.
And she mentioned that as well. I thought that was really interesting, you know, spending that time with her dad snorkeling, what, 4 or 5 times a year, I think she said, and then saying to her father, look, I'm going to do this as a career. And he kind of, you know, put that into her, taking her snorkeling, and that's become her thing. She had to talk him into it. But I bet you, now, he's as proud as a father could be.
Absolutely.
More power to her, Abdurrahman, I say.
I could not agree more. All right, I am Abdurrahman Al-Zaabi. A reminder that Season 5 of Naturally Educated is all about understanding how we can rebuild and protect our natural environment. And we'll be back soon with more on that.
And I'm Tim Elliott. Join us then.